Welcome to Truth is Stranger Than Fiction. Here's the guy who asks all the right questions. Your host, Ralph DeLugas.
Welcome, welcome to our another exciting show. You are on the Loving Liberty Network, and this is your humble truth-seeking host, Ralph DeLugas. We have got another exciting show for you this week. I'm going to have to eat a little crow and apologize to all of you out there that believe in reptilians from outer space. I like to say I'm honest, and I have often made fun of such things. Summarized version, I do believe in aliens. Of course, there's other people on other planets. I mean, they're everywhere, right? Of course, there's other beings and stuff, but I don't know, the whole Anunnaki designing the human race to harvest gold. I mean, I don't believe that. But, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about some Zuni elders, some Hopi elders, and some of their ancient writings. I don't know, the evidence is mounting that at some point, I guess in my, sometimes we just always see things, and you all know this, we see things through our own little perspective and belief system. And in my mind, intelligent beings should be like God the Father and Elohim and you know, Jesus Christ and such, you know, created after their image and like lizards are, you know, great, but they're lizards, right? But I don't know. We'll talk about that probably in the second segment or the third. But I do want to apologize up front to Dr. Dan Winters at Cal Poly, who I've poked fun at. I still don't think the Anunnaki created us, but anyway, lizard people might well be a thing. Reptilian men from outer space, keep your eyes out for them. I would still be way more worried about the serpents and reptilians in Washington, D.C. and in the Salt Lake Sanhedrin and so forth. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the news stories that are out. First, I don't know how many of you have heard. This is kind of not a science thing, but being we're manufacturers here at the Loving Liberty Science Headquarters, we're a CNC machine shop, and we've made firearms. And I don't know if any of you have heard the story about the ghost gun, the 1911. I heard some California politician say it's just too easy to get these parts, and these guns are too easy to put together. And I've been laughing for 3 hours. In my mind, I envision gather all of those legislatures up, grab Congress too. Picture Nancy Pelosi, right, with a spring pin and a 14-ounce ball peen and a handful of spring pins as she's cussing and trying to – man, I just think that's the most ridiculous thing. Any of you, and I would assume a lot of you, have disassembled various firearms. A 1911, very well-made gun, a lot of little teeny parts. I absolutely guarantee this story is complete rubbish. There's no way. Can you imagine – Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or maybe that wolf in shepherd's clothing senator hypocrite Mitt, give them all the parts, give them an entire Snap-on truck, right? Give them a bench vise, give them anything they could possibly need and full instructions, and I absolutely guarantee they would never get one of these guns together. Go down on the street corner with your hoodie, right, and try and buy all the parts for a model of any 1911 gun. It's ridiculous. Aside from the fact, I used to make these guns, and this was 25 years ago. Even back then, and the laws are far more strict now, when I would complete a set of 10 frames, I would have to go back to the safe and turn those in. If any got scrapped, you would have to account for them. And if you lost one, you could be charged criminally, right? It was a really big deal. So to insinuate that you can just get these any, that's just nonsense. Don't listen to it. Don't put up to it. Put up with it. And yeah, anyway, I just had to laugh. Anyway, a lightning in Pakistan, this is on November 15th, kills 26 people, 30 injured, hundreds of animals also killed. Imagine a lightning storm killing 26 people. Isn't that incredible? Unfortunately, get used to it because this is going to happen more often. In India, it seems like for some reason, there's always a lot of deaths. There's like 1,300 people that die annually in India by lightning, and that number goes up by many hundred every year. This same storm killed another 41 in India. Hailstorm blows rooftops off in Oh, where is this one? Oh, this is also in Pakistan. They have released the numbers for October. And once again, our friends at NOAA just love their red Sharpie. They just take a blue earth and they just paint it red and they call that science. I guess that's what they do. If you compare the two, yeah, it's just disgusting. We talk about this a fair amount, and I don't want to spend too much time. We got reptilians from outer space to talk about today, so I'm not going to get too caught up in the global warming hoax. Los Angeles Time, 5 reasons climate change is the worst environmental problem the world has ever faced. You know what? Lying media may well be the worst problem we face. This is ridiculous. I won't even talk about that one. This one's kind of interesting. Many of you know who NIST is. That's the National Institute of Standards and Technology. This article, actually from their website, NIST's light sensing camera may help detect extraterrestrial life and dark matter. Gosh, that dark matter. We've talked about that a lot too. Dark matter is code for made up science, and we want to keep you in the dark. Dark matter is complete nonsense. But the more interesting part of this headline is the extraterrestrial. And that's what I kind of want to talk about a little bit today. I've not spent ever really a lot of time talking about aliens and alien abductions and all that stuff. And I honestly, we'll get into that in a minute. Listen to this article. This is a narrative. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a cynic, but as I watch NASA and NIST and the headlines and just the talk on the ground, even you guys remember a couple of years ago, Harry Reid talks about being on the super secret committee of alien, whatever, men in black nonsense, looking into in threats from outer space. And we saw on the New York Times site those, I think it was a couple F-15s chasing some UFOs off the coast of California. It's coming up more and more often. I've been wondering for a long time, a couple of years now at least, why. I think I've put together a theory. Maybe if you guys have your own theory, call in. But looking into this article, researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and these are the people that certified 9/11 as being exactly as presented, so you know they wouldn't lie, right, have made one of the highest performance cameras ever composed of sensors that count photons of particles of light. Okay, big alarm going off there. They have no idea what light is, and there certainly are no particles of light. So obviously made up stuff here, but with more than 1,000 sensors or pixels, NIST camera may be useful in future space-based telescopes searching for chemical signs of life on other planets. New instruments. Anyway, this is super interesting. We've got a couple more articles like this. Nature magazine. Oh, gosh, this again. Google health data scandal spooks researchers. Scientists fear the controversy over Nightingale Project will undermine trust in research. Boy, I got some news for you guys, right? Like, we lost trust in your research a long time ago. I want to talk just a little bit. Let's see here. Do we have any other really pressing articles? Nah. Let's get on to some interesting stuff, okay? I want to first talk briefly about we've covered in the past that I like to stick with things that I really believe that have passed my kind of internal truth test, and that's why I think it's so important that we know some basic things about science. I'm flying on no sleep today because I was up last night rewriting my third science proposal for a couple of fifth graders at a local school here in town. We are talking about the nature of electricity, and they keep telling us our project won't fly because it doesn't jive with settled science, because we don't believe in electrons flowing in a wire. And we're using some really obscure references and scientists that really shouldn't matter. You know, people like, Michael Faraday, Nikola Tesla, James Clerk Maxwell, Steinmetz. These are the fathers. These are the founding fathers, if you will, of electricity. None of these guys believed in electrons. It was unheard of. They would laugh if they'd have heard it. But anyway, it's just so important to know the science. Like that article we read about NIST, where there's, you know, they're counting particles of light. They don't have any idea what light is. They don't have any idea what gravity is. And I shouldn't say they don't have any idea, because we know we basically have two government science arms, right? We got the one that we all learn about in school, where, you know, they teach you about black holes and Darwinian evolution and all of that nonsense. But they know darn good and well that that stuff doesn't have any merit, and it doesn't make any great devices. So to say they don't know what gravity is probably isn't true. I want to talk about some of the anti-gravity craft that I believe they're using in these alien abductions, and why the deep state, the cabal, or whatever you want to call them, why would they do such a thing? We'll talk about that after the break. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about Lemuria and the Lost Atlantis files that have been recently discovered in the some more of Plato's writings. Super interesting stuff, and we'll talk about it soon. Everybody, welcome back. You know, we did miss a few science. We'll talk about that one on the next segment. Africa is splitting in two, creating dozens of volcanoes. Some interesting stuff going on around the world. I think if we have any single most commonly discussed topic here, and I think that's most important, is to understand that our poles are shifting. Catastrophes are cyclical, and we should be prepared for it. The most important thing to be prepared for this is to be prepared to get ready to take care of your neighbors and your family. I don't think there's anything more important than that. As long as you're focused on that, don't worry about bullets. Don't worry. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have bullets, and we should have bullets, but that's most important. And I think we really can't talk about anything more important than that. So we've got a few more articles to cover. Bear with me. We'll cover those on the next segment. Alien abductions. You know, I stay away from such things. I try not to spend a lot of time on things that I can't prove for a fact. But there are so many of these. There are literally thousands. And they're getting, I don't know about more frequent in the last couple of years. But when you read over some of these, which I for some reason chose to do over this past week, and the type of craft that they're talking about, I've heard some of these insiders from the secret space program, and so I'm kind of torn. I don't know where the truth is, but what I can tell you, I've had like dinner with a guy named and we talked about his video, Dr. August Dunning. You can find his video still online. He's kind of he still teaches at, I want to say, gosh, USC, somewhere on the West Coast. But he used to work for NASA. He's done work on the tunnel digging machines that they have. There is no question there are massive underground cities that they've been working on for a very long time. That to me is just fact. I hate saying my opinion. It's just a fact. They almost admit it, and they're almost admitting now these craft, which is kind of interesting to me. But they, according to Dunning, they reverse engineered alien craft, and you guys all heard those stories. I won't spend too much time on that. In my opinion, what I have long felt is that they have reverse engineered some of the ancient human civilization crafts. Ancient man, antediluvian period, and so forth, going back to Atlantis, which I'll talk about here in a little bit. I'm really starting to get a little interested in this whole Atlantis story too, but in ancient India, they had these Vimana. They've actually found plans for them. They've found the actual craft. They fly on a principle that honestly is fairly easy to understand. Electromagnetic gravitics, this field is called, where you can isolate matter, if you want to call it matter. Matter is just frequency at a vibration, but you can isolate what we call matter from the effect we call gravity, which is just magnetism. It's electromagnetism. We have current going through the earth. You can isolate a craft from that. And once you have checked out of this force, you no longer are bound by nasty little things like inertia. And all of a sudden, traveling along magnetic flux lines, infinite acceleration becomes possible. This isn't inconceivable Star Trek warp drive stuff. This is stuff that, if it makes sense to a knucklehead like me, I guarantee the some of these smarty pants that they these prodigies they get at a young age from universities can definitely have had this figured out long ago. So no doubt that they have these spaceships. So what's up with these alien abductions, right? In my humble opinion, I don't know, but you look at all these insiders, and these are these secret space program insiders. They come out, and I've seen them on many networks. I won't call any of them actually out. I can't say I know for sure. I don't know. Some of their stories are so fantastic about the amazing technology that – call them whatever you want, the cabal, the deep state, whatever, in places like Area 51, this reverse-engineered alien technology. I am very much suspicious that alien civilizations come here and give these crooks and thieves all this great technology. I think that they've absconded it from well, we know about the 21, what, missing 21, $22 trillion, and then the $3 or $4 trillion before that. I would be shocked if there weren't missing hundreds of trillions of dollars. We know about the central banking scam that's been going on for 100 years. Who knows what the real numbers are? If we know about $25 trillion, couldn't there be a lot more of that we don't know about? I would say definitely, probably so. So what can you put together with a few hundred trillion dollars? Probably a lot. So anyway, these alien abductions, in my humble opinion, just looking at how much more of this is coming out and the fact that the federal government even is like admitting now that there's Navy pilots that actually have it on film. These super secret space secret, what do they call it? The secret space program, SSP, insiders that have come out and actually talk about capabilities. August Dunning says that this aircraft, I think they're on like the fourth or fifth generation now, really cool looking craft, can fly at speeds far in excess of the speed of light, which is not impossible. The theory of relativity, which supposedly makes it clear that nothing, no matter, again, I don't even like that word matter, but no physical matter that what we call matter can accelerate up to the speed of light, that's just nonsense. I mean, we know that's nonsense, right? How do the angels of heaven come here? I mean, are they matter? Of course they're matter, and they can come here quickly. I don't think that takes them a million light years to get here. That's just nonsense. And this spacecraft has definitely been throughout the solar system. So when you look at articles like these rovers that they're spending $1 billion on to go look for microbes under the ice somewhere on a moon of Saturn, you got that half of the government, the NASA half, the propaganda half, and then you got the elite's little what should we call it? Their own little private technology arm. And this is very real, and it's actually pretty cool. A lot of these, if it wasn't for the fact that they were building all this with our stolen dollars, it would be really cool. But in my opinion, with just looking at how all this is coming together, all these alien abductions and stuff, I would not be at all surprised if this is our next big false flag, where they finally come out and say, yeah, there are aliens, but lucky you, we are on the job and we are keeping you safe. I would actually be surprised if that didn't come to fruition. But that's just my humble opinion. I want to talk about Lemuria and Atlantis, but we're probably going to run out of time in this segment. So let's talk just briefly about some of these underground tunnels. Place called Nazca. This is in Mexico. Many of you know about the tunnels that they've dug under Denver Airport and all that. Well, far greater than that are tunnels that have already been there in places all over the world. These tunnels underneath Nazca go off in hundreds of miles in all directions. They have whole cities under there where there's these little like nooks and little holdout areas in the rock. And the interesting thing is this sediment in these rock, they're shaped like a loaf of bread. These are the actual tunnels, and they open up in these massive caverns. All have been burned by rock. They were burned by like some sort of high energy. There's no sediment. The rock has been polished smooth. And this, you could put a 4-lane highway down these things, right? The bottom of these tunnels are flat, so I don't know how you use a boring machine to create a flat bottom, and polished walls. And there's all these as you go along, you'll come along to a section where there'll be a couple thousand square foot little rooms hollowed out of solid rock, and all this is hundreds of feet under the earth, up to even like 1,000 feet under the earth. I think it's super interesting. Why did early man make all these tunnels? First of all, how did they make all these tunnels? And they are everywhere. There's nowhere on earth that these things don't exist. They're in Turkey, they're in Russia, they're in China, they're in India, they're underneath the oceans. They are everywhere. It's almost as if ancient man has hidden from something catastrophe driven before. Like a micronova, or like a pole shift, or like a crustal shift, kind of like our government has been planning, and the cabal, I should say, not our government, has been planning for 50 years now. But we'll talk about that a little bit more after the break. Some of the amazing stuff that's been unearthed in Nazca, and we'll see you after the break.
Trusted voices of truth and insight. This is the Loving Liberty Radio Network.
Okay, everybody, we are back. We are talking about some of the underground tunnels that are throughout the world. Now, I want to shift gears and talk just a little bit about some of these. Well, here's another couple articles. Brian and I were talking during the break about this. This is from NASA. Your RNA may have come from space, Meteor suggests. Another article. RNA proven to have come from space after study of meteors. The discovery of ribose sugars in ancient meteorites just made space rocks a little sweeter. Super interesting. This is coming in the whole aliens and aliens from space. And then I had to giggle at this one. Boeing rolls out a Starliner passenger spacecraft to launch site ahead of December flight. If you are dumber than a rock and happen to have $90 million extra dollars, you can get on this cosmic ray, soon to be soaked by cosmic ray explosion waiting to happen, and go up. You know, for $90 million, they should give you a ride on their real spacecraft, right? Not this Starliner. Anyway, I want to talk briefly a little bit more about these tunnels and what they're for. We've talked about Colonel White. We've talked about the Adam and Eve story and the overwhelming evidence. You know, I wish there was somehow that on a radio show that I could show charts and graphs and somehow properly present to you. I hope the earnestness in my voice is enough to convince you that this is not some crazy religious zealot. Not that I may not qualify as one of those, but this is not just some crazy Bible-thumping religious zealot and not some crazy prepper imploring you to take this serious. All the evidence. And I look at this stuff. This has been my passion for a very long time. All the evidence is very, very clear. Our polls are flying now. They are moving quickly to the Southern Ocean, and let me call up that screen. The North Pole is going to pop out somewhere in the Indian Ocean. We think somewhere around what is that? Probably a couple thousand miles on. Would that be northwest of Australia, and then directly through the Earth, right around the Southern Atlantic Anomaly, not too far from the Bermuda Triangle, which is where the Southern Atlantic Anomaly is, there will pop out the other pole. This is going to happen. It's happened many times before, what they call the Ice Age, and we'll talk a little bit too. We can't talk about tunnels under the Earth without mentioning the cities that are in Antarctica. This is a fact. Like, this is any other country, you would hear this on the evening news. We don't seem to get this stuff here for whatever reason. But, and how could that be? Did they just decide, hey, let's go build a city under the ice in Antarctica? No, of course not. The Earth's crust has shifted before. When the poles move, and the poles are what drives the spin of the Earth. By their own crappy science, the laws of thermodynamics, right? There's no such thing as perpetual motion. So something is spinning the Earth. And if you read the mainstream science articles on this. They talk about iron cores with cobalt and tungsten in them that are sloshing around and causing our entire magnetic shield. That is so ridiculous. It is a natural law. Anytime current flows, you have magnetism. They are inseparable. This is what my son's science project is about, that I'm arguing with our curriculum writer, a science curriculum writer at my kids' school district. Anytime current flows, you have a magnetic field. You cannot have a magnetic field without current. You cannot have voltage, electricity without a magnetic field. They are absolutely inseparable. Where one isn't, that's like separating taxes and a politician or something, right? It just doesn't happen. So our poles are caused by the massive current that's coming to our Earth, glowing through our Earth, causing, and I really like the inner Earth theories, where it talks about plasma being the center of the Earth. That makes so much more sense. Even the great Nikola Tesla, which it really stinks that we don't have his writings. What little we have is just in bits and pieces that the CIA managed to not get scraped together and locked away in their vaults. But actually, it wasn't the CIA back then. It was the Immigration Department for some reason. It was the agency that gathered all his stuff up. Now it's the CIA that has it. But even Tesla said that all of the bodies in space, stars, planets, have to be hollow. And he has a whole gravity model to explain it, which is a bit much for this little short discussion. But yeah, so we have the poles, and they're gonna meet in the Indian Ocean. They're gonna pop out 180 degrees from each other, and the Earth's crust is gonna shift. That shouldn't be too shocking. And I don't want to make people afraid. Make no mistake about it. Our future isn't global warming. It is cold. We're going to have cold. We're going to have hail. We're going to have storms that are going to get a lot worse. When the crust shifts, we're going to have some pretty big waves. Be a pretty good idea to have some spare clothing, have a little food on the in the pantry. But that said, don't have fear. Fear is such a thief of focus. It's a thief of your energy. And worse, I think even far worse than that, fear is a thief. It's like a faith quencher. And your faith is your power, which is why the cabal broadcasts fear all the time. This 5G garbage on every tower, they're broadcasting fear. And they want you and your family afraid. So don't be afraid, but be aware. This is coming. That was kind of a little tangent I wasn't planning on going on. But dang it, this is so important to know that this is coming. This global warming hoax that they get people so up in arms over, just tune it right out. It is nonsense. And they know darn good and well what's coming. They've been planning for this for 60, 70, 80 years. But for some reason, they don't bother to tell us. I want to talk a little bit about the Zuni Indians and the Hopis. I have a pretty good friend. I consider him a friend. He's the last chief of all chiefs of the Cherokee Nation, a man named Sean Little Bear. I've had many long discussions with him, as well as I actually have a half-brother that's Zuni. He was adopted when I was a kid, and I've spent a little time down there on the Zuni Reservation, as well as some of the Hopi elders, Clifford Mahudi and a few others. They have a very interesting oral tradition, and this is what kind of finally got my scales tipped on this whole reptilian thing. And I know a couple of these guys to be very truthful and very honorable and very intelligent men. And these oral traditions go back some 6,000 years. Back through the deluge, they have the deluge in their oral traditions. They have a very accurate calendar. These ancient Hopis were no slouch. They had great technology. They understood the stars. They knew about the underground cities. They entered underground cities. There are definitely places like Mount Shasta, that big crater down in Arizona. There's access points, I think, all over North America and all over the world. And the ancient Zunis and Hopis knew about it. In this ancient, this one's a Hopi calendar. According to the Hopis, we're going to run out of time. I'm not going to get too far into that, but I have to admit that looking at some of the evidence from the Hopis and Zunis, I don't know. I'm not saying the Indians teach that the reptilians were. There's just too much here to say this is all complete made up nonsense. So if you're bored and you want to look into this more, it makes me think of Alex Jones. It wasn't Alex Jones, I think, that was saying that Hillary's a reptilian cloned cloaked. I don't know. That may well be, actually. You know, if anyone is a reptilian, it's probably the Clintons, right? But I don't know. what can we really say, right? I want to talk a little bit before we run out of time in this segment about Lemuria and Atlantis. According to Dr. Frank Joseph Hoff, who's a lifelong Atlantis researcher, who's recently discovered some more writings from Plato. The way this worked, Plato, who spent a fair amount of time in Egypt, the Egyptians in their library there, Alexandria, is that correct? They got this information through the ancient Hindus and going all the way back to Atlantis and where it is believed Atlantis is or was, I guess still is in the Indonesia area. And if you look at some of, we've talked a little bit about some of the ancient structures, could well be in Atlantis. And this was a civilization that would have lasted a really long time. And it's hard to say for sure. I don't want to quote too much. I can't say I agree with everything he says. I don't believe this civilization lasted, you know, 30,000 years, something like that. But what is interesting, and this goes along with what Jonathan Gray, who I know to be a very good and honest researcher, he's the author of, we're going to have to talk about that after the break. Nuclear war in the ancient world after these messages. Everybody, welcome back to our fourth and final segment. We are talking about Atlantis now and Lemuria a little bit. A lot of the, I'm pulling most of what I'm going to talk about briefly here from two researchers, both of which I know to be, first of all, not part of the National Science Foundation, which is the first and most important credential that we don't want our researchers to have. These are one guy is from India. One guy is a Spaniard. Professor Aricio Santos and the other name that I mentioned, Frank Joseph Hoff, both foreigners holding PhDs. Really interesting to me, and this coincides perfectly with a lot of the research that I've marveled at another really great archaeologist from New Zealand named Jonathan Gray. Some of you might recognize his name. He's been on Kate's show on Loving Liberty. I know he's been on many shows. He's a good friend and a great guy and an honest researcher. And he has spent his life researching things like the giants, the deluge. He's excavated the Ark, the crossing, Moses' crossing at the Red Sea, and other places like that, biblical, Sodom and Gomorrah, which they have also found, by the way. Interesting stuff. But he's talked a lot in his book, Dead Men's Secrets, about these blast fields buried throughout India, Pakistan, and in Asia. Still radioactive. Radioactive at ground zero of a blast site, this stays radioactive for a very long time, especially it would appear after the deluge. This stuff was buried by a ton of sediment, and they have actually found it. What happens, there's so much heat right at where fusion begins to happen and where you see the mushroom cloud go up. The sand in that area, and we're talking several square miles, these were huge nuclear blasts, turns to glass, and it's quite thick. And it's a process that we can observe because, you know, we've unfortunately set off some nukes of our own here in the modern era. And there are at least 15 that we know of blast sites where nuclear bombs were set off, big ones. So these two archaeologists have gone through a lot of these ancient writings. There was definitely a war going on. And according to the guy whose name I can't pronounce, Professor Aricio Santos, who's no longer with us, author of a couple books, Atlantis, The Lost Continent Finally Found, and Plato's Lost Civilization. He asserts that it's pretty clear there was a massive war going on. We don't know if it was perhaps between Lemuria. Most people believe these civilizations were separated by a few thousand years. But apparently war and nuclear war has happened before on this Earth. Hopefully never happens again. We'll try to be optimistic on that one. But also from this same time period, we have the Sanskrits coming out of India, which is not far from where they believed Atlantis to be. And with the technology that they had, there is no doubt they could have spread out, especially if they were here anything like the amount of time that some people assert they were here. So these ancient Vimana that the cabal has reverse engineered. I've read a lot of these things. I can't read the writing, but I've looked at a lot of the pictures, and these are very viable engineering drawings. They're actually quite good, of a chamber, some sort of mercury-like vapor, counter-rotating, which is absolutely a thing. Counter-rotation is how electricity works. The galaxies counter-rotate. These areas where they call there's actually an article. One of the articles I probably have to mention. NASA finds supermassive black hole birthing stars at a furious rate. It's surrounded by trillions of suns worth of hot gas, and then this supermassive black hole is churning out stars 500 times faster than the Milky Way. I don't know how anybody takes these guys serious, but anyway, what really happens, and this is observed. Even admitted by NASA, this is another one of those articles we talked about a few weeks ago where NASA was, again, intrigued. They never say, holy crap, we're wrong, and wow, you guys should fire us because we get everything wrong. No, they're always intrigued and fascinated at how this supermassive black hole is causing counter-rotation in a galaxy. Well, that's not very surprising at all because electricity, energy, the energy that flows throughout space causes counter-rotation. Birkeland currents rotate one way in the center, another way as you go out a little bit. An easy experiment, if you're ever really bored at home, something that anybody could do, go down to your local, anywhere you can buy two glass beakers, and you can Google it and see it online, water bridge. I think if you just Google water bridge and maybe electricity, you can see this happen. It's a really cool experiment. Overfill a couple beakers, put some simple DC current through them, positive in one side, negative in the other. Bring them together so the water touches and pull them slowly apart. You can get a water bridge that's perfectly straight. This is just water, an inch long, flowing in between the two beakers. And this is a Birkeland current. Water is a diamagnetic. Water does react, and we are water-based beings. Everything reacts to magnetism, which is what gravity is, in my humble opinion, and in the opinion of most scientists that I talk to. So anyway, going back to these Vimana, they have a mercury chamber, electromagnetic, and a lot of these super secret scientists. This is kind of what's really got me kind of a little bit puzzled. Not just Dr. Dunning and people that I really know and trust that have kind of, and he doesn't say exactly how it works. This is, you know, things that we've talked about over dinner. And I know he's gotten older, and you'd have to know the guy. He's just a good old hippie, and he's just talking. And we've had long discussions about how these things work, and it's actually not that complicated. And it's exactly how these Vimanas were drawn up in the Sanskrits, and they estimate these things to be about 20,000 BC carbon dating, which is about as accurate as sticking your finger in the wind. So who knows how old they are, but they're definitely older than antediluvian. So in my opinion, they're maybe 4,000, 5,000 years old, maybe as much as close to 6,000 years old. We don't know how fast Adam and company got their technology wheels going. We know Cain already had founded banks in the first colony. So yeah, that happened pretty quick. So anyway, Plato's, how much of this do we have time for? Yeah, we could talk a little bit about it. Plato talks about these civilizations and how they sunk into the ocean. But what really, if you translate it a little more carefully, Atlantis didn't sink by the ocean. It was swallowed up by a wall of water. So that lends itself very much more to the same cyclical catastrophe that we see proof of all over the world. We see it in the North Pole. We see it in these giant mammoths that are frozen with buttercup flowers still in their bellies. We see it everywhere. We see it in massive boulders that are pushed many thousands of feet, many thousands of meters. We're talking boulders that weigh, you know, many hundreds of tons, huge hunks of mountain that are and granite all over the world that were pushed to and fro by these massive walls of water from crustal shift. Those of you that, like me, believe in the Bible, we read of the same sort of thing there, right? About the oceans becoming angry, oceans throwing themselves outside of their bounds. I don't know where I've read any better explanation of crustal shift and micronova catastrophe than in Isaiah. A micronova, which, you know, is so interesting. Still to this day, they talk about most stars have a binary. And do you guys know where that comes from? Why is it NASA thinks that every star has a binary? Every time they try to explain something, if it isn't dark hole or some supermassive fantasy black hole, it's these two binary stars, right? Well, what makes them think that is they see a star go boom, they see a nova, and then lo and behold, you know, after that dust cloud goes away, they're looking in that same spot and they're like, wow, there's a star there. There must have been two stars there to start with, because certainly we're not wrong, right? Well, the real story is stars go boom again and again. We are moving through the galaxy. We're coming into a really dusty null spot where dust is accumulating, and soon our sun is going to have a shell release, and all those kind of nasty little things that Isaiah talked about are going to happen. So get some warm clothing. Get excited, because this is going to be cool, guys. This is going to be, you know, there's going to be some hard times, but hey, I don't know about you guys. I'm ready for this kingdom of corruption to go away tomorrow. I won't mourn its loss, not in any way, shape, or form. So get a little warm clothing. Get your faith girded up, because you are far more powerful, a message we try to end the show on every day. You are way more powerful than any supercomputer, supermassive black hole, or 1,000 super secret agents from any dark ops operation. Your mind is the most powerful thing in the universe. Don't forget to say your prayers. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
Trusted voices of truth and insight. This is the Loving Liberty Radio Network.